Welcome back, Lister sisters, Lister misters, and Lister listeners, to another episode of Top Hat Topics. I am your host, and with me, as always, my co-host,
Kristen Hughes.
Hi, guys!
We're back!
This is just a teaser episode, though.
Just a little tease. This coming Monday, after 3 years of pining for more and Lister international camaraderie.
Marriages.
Breakups.
Breakups. Hookups.
Fuckups.
We made some friends. We lost some friends.
It's finally upon us.
Yeah.
Finally upon us. This community has grown so much in the 3 years since Gentleman Jack started.
It's true.
I, for one, will always remember the time fondly because it started the day after Game of Thrones, or was it the week after Game of Thrones? I just specifically remember going through the emotional trauma of season 8 of Game of Thrones and being grateful that Gentleman Jack was on because it was the only thing that was keeping me from rioting in the streets.
It was the only thing keeping you from canceling your HBO Max subscription.
It was terrible.
It was terrible. Would we have gotten Gentleman Jack sooner had it not been for COVID? Or do you think it would have still been three years anyway?
I think that max it would have been like a year and a half, maybe possibly pushing 2 years if it weren't for COVID. But, you know, the UK, they had all the restrictions in place that we did. And, you know, they were on lockdown. They had to take care of themselves and, you know, the community of Halifax that they would be in to be filming. And it definitely put a halt on production multiple times, actually.
Yeah, I'm sure. It doesn't even feel like these last 2 years happened. Like,
doesn't it feel weird?
It does.
And we're into this is the third year.
Wait, is it 2023? No, it's only
2022. No, it's 2022, but we're into
okay.
the third year. It has not been 3 years. We're just...
Right. You scared me because, like, time is, you know, like, it very easily could have been 2023, and I just like, what happened?
I actually had a moment like that not too long ago where I was doing something for work and I was pulling reports of dates, and I was like, what year is
it? What year is it?
I felt like Robin Williams and Jumanji.
Yeah, I'm never even sure anymore. Same thing with my age. People are like, how old are you? And I'm like, I'm 4.
Right? I'm like, I don't know, I'm in my mid-30s. We'll just
call
it that.
I'm in the winter of my late 30s. The dark winter.
I actually think that we should petition for everyone who is inclined to call that time of their life the dark winter.
God.
It's perfect. But, you know, for me... You know, going back to this community, I think that one thing that really helped me a lot during the thick of COVID, it's definitely still going on, but, you know, it's different now, was this community.
Yeah.
Like, having the Listerhood there and having so many people from everywhere in the world, like, I felt like it... Not only did it make us feel like we were not alone, but it gave us a lot of perspective of what was happening in other parts of the world.
Yeah, for sure.
Because, you know, being in the United States sort of just tends to be its own little information bubble.
It does. It does. Also, I kept wondering about our North Korea listener.
I know.
What did they do all those years?
Lone North Korea listener. Hear our cry.
Just listen to this episode so that we know you're okay.
Send us a smoke signal.
What do they even listen to it on? I've always wondered that. I don't know.
Probably their phone.
Yeah, their phone or their computer.
I don't know. I know that this is probably... There's a 99.9% chance that this is definitely banned in North Korea, so...
No North lesbians! No, get out of here.
No lesbianing allowed.
Yeah.
So, lone North Korean listener, know that our thoughts are with you. We'd love to hear from you in some way, shape, or form, and we're with you.
Yeah, for sure.
So, here we are. Season 2. It's finally happening. We've got a lot to look forward to, Jen. We've got Ann Walker, our precious little cinnamon roll, moving in to Shipton with Ann Lister.
See, you have a different opinion than I do. I don't think we have anything. I think we have strife to look forward to. People are going to get mad about that, and they're going to get mad about her having access to Ann's money, and I just feel like there's going to be a lot of sadness this season. Because they ended the last season with they getting married, and you know, like, that was the highlight. So, like, now it's just everybody being mad about it. That's my opinion. I could be wrong.
I mean,
that's my thoughts on it.
I don't disagree with you.
Yeah.
I think that we're probably in for a lot of high lesbian drama.
Right.
Like, level 10 lesbian drama.
That could also just be my pessimism. You know, I'm always waiting for the other foot to shoe to drop.
Oh, of course.
So something good happens.
Well,
like,
I mean,
whoa.
Just to add a few more highlights of what we're expecting, we're also expecting Mariana Lawton dealing with the news that Anne has committed herself to another, as well as meeting one of Anne's old lovers, Tim Norcliffe.
Oh.
So we've got that to look forward to. We've also got, drumroll, Christmas of 1834 to look forward to. We don't even have to say anything else.
Oh, that's coming up.
All of that is expected in this season.
And then we have to find out about old boy killing his daddy and feeding him to the pigs, and then the twin showed up.
Yeah.
Well, that was a very soap opera move. And then your uncle shows up, and he looks like your daddy.
Yeah, that's bizarre. Can you imagine how scary that is?
Like, yeah,
especially
if you killed him.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, as if you hadn't already, like, slit your dad's throat and fed him to pigs. I mean, granted, he
like
was a real son of a bitch.
He was a true
arguably
son of a bitch.
Deserved.
Right.
I think that Thomas had what I call a Dexter moment.
He just kind of lost it.
Just doing society a favor, you know.
Right. But he's gonna, that's coming to
yeah.
head this season. See what I'm saying? All the sheeps are coming home to roost this season. They're
all
roosting.
The sheeps are coming home
And I don't
to
think
roost.
Those analogies go together, but.
But you know what? We're gonna make it happen. From this day forward, the sheep
come
are
home
roosting.
To roost. I just feel like there's just gonna be a lot of sadness. And then, what was the, she's still trying to do the coal mining thing, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep, she's. Miss Walker gave her the money to sink her pits, so she's going to be an industrialist.
Which, that was the way to go back then.
Oh.
That was the Bitcoin of,
the Bitcoin of the Georgian period. Do you have coal?
Got coal? I'm an industrialist. That sounds hella cool.
Doesn't
better
it?
Than a woman, especially.
Absolutely.
I'm a female industrialist, because you have to say female in front of, you know, like, I can't just call myself a comedian. I have to say I'm a female comedian.
Oh, yes.
I'm actually non-binary, so that doesn't, I'm lying when I say that.
It's actually perfect for you to just be able to say I'm a comedian.
Right, because I don't really, yeah.
Because it's not gendered at all.
Nothing should be gendered, really, when you think about it.
It's all a
sense.
Construct.
Right. Female doctor. Like, I think that bitch is just a doctor, you know?
Like, yeah, yeah. Like, she's, you mean she's just a doctor?
And I'll, you remember when people made fun of Biden's wife for wanting to be called doctor? And I'm like, well, she got a doctorate!
Oh my gosh, can I just say that when all of that was being discussed, I was so shook. I was like, you can believe that if I had a doctorate, I would 100% be Dr. Kristen Hughes, and you will call me as such. Like, all my friends could just call me Kristen, acquaintances could call me Dr. Kristen, and strangers could call me Dr. Hughes.
I would call you Ducky Ducky Duck Duck.
You can call me whatever you like, friend.
And I often do.
Indeed.
But I think that, like, that stroke, you know, that's funny because she was fighting an even harder battle back then because it was really, like, respect for women was that, I mean, it's at an all-time low now, right? But, like, back then, it was damn near non-existent.
I mean, I wouldn't say it's at an all-time low.
That's fair.
It's definitely better, but, I mean, back then, that was probably all-time low. Or pretty close to it.
I mean, I guess, you know, for me, I look at it the perspective of, like, what my career is, and respect for female comedians, like, it just, it's probably the lowest it's been in a long time.
That's terrible.
Well, no, but I mean, I just think it's...
I just say that because mostly, like, there are a couple of, since we're going to gender everything, male comedians that I enjoy, a couple, but, like, I would say personally, I like female comedians better, or, like, non-gendered comedians, but, like, my personal taste, I definitely like less male comedians than people that occupy a different place on the spectrum.
Well, I think, you know, and, like, when people say things like women aren't funny, you have to look at it like it's a numbers game, right? So if there's 100 comedians, probably only 10 are women, probably only, we'll be generous and say 6 are really good, because, like, that's just number, that's just how it works, you know what I'm saying? If you've got a cross-section of people, some of them aren't going to be good at it. But no one ever says men aren't funny, but I'm telling you, out of 100 men, you got, like, 10 to 15 that are funny, and then the rest are not. So if you look at it from those numbers, men aren't funny, you know? But that's just, like, how it breaks down. Like, women aren't prevalent somewhere, so it looks as though they're not good at that thing, but when you, I don't know. You see what I'm saying?
It makes absolute sense.
Yeah.
It really is a numbers game. It's all about statistics. Now would be, like, a perfect time for me to drop the line, how could you say something so brave yet so controversial? Seems like a perfect time to drop that. I've been waiting a long time. Right. I've been waiting a long time to be able to use that line.
Well, I think that that's why I think Ann Lister resonates so hard with people, especially lesbians. I mean, and then across the board, she resonates with people. I mean, there's plenty of men that watch this show. There's plenty of non-binary people and, you know, people that just identify in different ways. But I think she really resonates with, like, strong kind of mask-leaning lesbians because, like, that's our life, you know? That's the constant not being accepted, having to prove that you're good enough to be there, having to prove that almost you're better than everybody that does it. You know what I mean? Because how could you be there if you weren't exceptional, right? Because you're just a woman.
Absolutely.
And so I think that's why Ann Lister just hits so hard with, you know, women like us. That's, like, the only way I can put it is that we see ourselves in her and a little of what she does every day.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I just love knowing that this woman that lived, you know, centuries ago,
right,
literally, that she is having such a profound impact on people all over the world. Like,
yeah.
I just...
You know how much she would love to know that she was a tattoo on people? Like, that would just fire her cocky ass.
I mean, come on, like,
up.
Ann Lister, look, we all love her. But let's all be honest and say that she definitely has some narcissistic personality traits. She would love that she is a tattoo on people's bodies. She would love that her code is being turned into vinyl stickers for people's cars and computers and everything else she puts stickers on. She would love this international phenomena of people coming together for one common reason, which is her.
Yeah, I think she'd be pretty impressed by all of her celebrity. Not even, but not too surprised because she already knew. I mean, and that's the thing. Like, you know, we let men do that. We let men be confident. We allow them to really revel in their greatness. We not only do we allow it, we celebrate it. You know, like a cocky man, like Ferris Bueller's Day Off or any of those movies where, you know, a man is just so overconfident, but it works for him every time. We allow that in men and we don't allow it in women.
Which is a shame.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's what she was. She was confident. And the 9 times out of 10,
that deserve.
That bluff pays off, you know what I mean? Like, even when you're not.
And that, to me, is really what draws the line between, like, cocky and arrogant and confident.
Yeah.
Is like, you know, you can have all the confidence for yourself in the world if you back it up.
Yeah.
Then you're confident. But if you're just hyping yourself up to be a one-upper, to make yourself seem better, then you're a cocky or arrogant.
Yeah.
She was definitely confident.
Yeah, she definitely was. She knew to do things that she could back herself up in. But, I mean, you know, she sunk the pits without knowing that it would be a definite and not knowing that, you know, not even knowing that she was going to get Anne back to make it work. And yet,
and still she persisted.
And she prevailed.
Yes.
Well, I guess so. I guess that's why you can see why I'm full of fear for this woman. Because she's gotten what she wants. So clearly that means now
everything has to burn.
She's going to be punished for it in some way, shape, or form.
That's so very poetic of you to say.
Is
again.
It?
Yep.
No, I think it's just like, you know, I track on life and what goes on. I'm worried for her, but I hope it's good. I hope it's a happy.
Me too. I think it's just gonna be good. I just think the content is gonna be.
Can we get some more Yara couch outfits?
Yeah, I was just about to say that I am like top of list. Very excited to come up with some fun new ways to describe Marion's frocks.
Yeah, she's married in this. I call her Yara.
She's always Yara to us for Game of Thrones. Yeah, no doubt. Yara forever.
It's hard for me to watch her as that character because I was so entranced with Yara and how powerful. And that's another, what a great juxtaposition for that actress to come from a real power role that was Yara and to be in the, you know,
bratty younger
polyester
sister.
Couch-wearing sister. Yeah. And she plays it really well. She has a real, like, a kind of a loathing for Anne, but then also, like, a love.
A deep love. It's definitely what I would consider, like the quintessential sister relationship.
I don't have a sister, so I don't know that that's like that, but you do. Is it like that?
There's also 17 years between my sister and I, so.
So she was just like your baby at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Also, your sister's really sweet. I don't really picture her being very catty.
No,
she's
very
kind.
Yeah, like she's very chill. I'm very lucky.
Yeah.
Like I know most people that have like 17-year-old kids in their life are probably like not having a good time, but my sister's excellent.
Yeah. She's a nice kid.
I really 10 out of 10, I have to say.
Maybe it happens when you're like a little closer in age because there's enough rivalry to be there.
Yeah, exactly.
By the time you were gone, you'd already done it. So it's like, yeah, kid,
yeah,
if you
done.
Can.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Live up to it. Try it. I don't know. I've been out here getting success for 17 years, but you go ahead and crack at it.
Good luck being the prodigal daughter.
Right. Well, I mean, in your family, doesn't matter who the good one is. It's not going to be rewarded no matter what.
Touche.
That's a horrible thing to laugh at.
But you know what? That's how we deal with trauma around here.
True. Oh, that's shameful.
Got trauma? We got a joke.
Yeah, we got a joke. I'm gonna make a little. I love that meme. That's like, no matter how bad it is, I'm gonna crack a little jokey joke.
Just a little jokey joke.
I've done that in so many situations. You know, like later, I've gone back to feel great shame about it. You know, but I'm like, my brain just said, I don't know what to do. Be funny.
I know. I totally get it. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Since I've been with Amanda, I think that probably like 80% of all of my childhood traumas have been cured because anytime I share anything deeply painful with her, she turns it into a slow roast.
Of the situation or you?
The situation.
Okay, yeah, that's
fair. I mean, like, really, I truly healed over 80% of my childhood trauma because she has turned it all into a comedy hour, pretty much. And it's pretty good. Yep. It's good stuff. I have to say, if you've got some things you're holding on to, find you a funny friend that you can just share everything with and let them just slow roast it.
I had somebody share something deeply painful with me once, and then And then afterwards, they were like, okay, now how do I make that funny? And I just sat there in horror, like, I don't think you can. I'm traumatized by what you're doing.
It must have been a bad thing then.
No, because I'm a comedian, not a magician. Like, I don't. But no, I mean, you're right. That I think trauma is where humor comes from. Like, there's rarely the funny person I meet that had a great life coming up. They're usually, like, skinny, hairy, fat, queer, you know, something that society could...
Shitty home life.
Right. Point their finger at and mock, and you get real tired of that, and, or you become mean, I think. I think that's where I don't know what the third option is.
I feel like being funny is such a better choice over being mean, because I really think that, like, being mean has to be exhausting. I barely have the energy to adult. I definitely don't have the energy to be mean.
Yeah. Yeah, what a waste that seems like now. I wonder if people that protest now, how do you get the energy to do that? Did you not see that the world's garbage? Like, we sat in our house for a year and it's like, it's all a lie.
No doubt.
Sorry. All right, anyways, back to Ann Lister.
Back to Ann Lister. Y'all, we wanted to come on. We wanted to say hello, let you know we're back at it. We'll be covering every episode as it comes out. We have missed you all. Well, we've missed you all via the podcast, but we'll catch you on the Facebook group later.
Yeah.
We're really excited for season two. We're really, really excited. And it now gives us another reason for both of our homebody asses to actually see each other every week.
Yay!
Because life do be lifin'.
Oh, so hard. But we're excited to be back, and we're excited to see... Well, Kristen's excited to see what will happen this season. I'm apprehensive to see what will happen this season. But I'm excited about the Christmas episode. That sounds fun. Sounds like you're going to get some puddings.
Oh, puddings. I don't know. I
just feel like English people eat puddings at Christmas. I could be wrong.
Trifle.
Spotted dick. Is that a thing?
Yes.
I've seen it in the world market. I don't know what it is.
Spotted dick is like a... To us, it's basically like a...
Looks like a mushy-ass cake.
It looks like almost like a moist... Mm. A pound cake that has raisins all in it.
Oh, that's the spotted part. And then it's called dick because when you hand it to someone, they're like, oh, you spotted dick. You handed me this? You was going to make me put this in my mouth?
I actually bet if we find that in a history book somewhere, that's exactly what the definition will say.
Spotted dick. And then the spots are raisin? That is awful. English people.
I'm telling you, the Queen's English is truly... Well, exponentially more evolved than ours.
I think we've talked about this before, but like the first couple of times I watched the British baking show and they were like, oh, we're going to make biscuits today. I was like, oh, biscuits. And then these fuckers made cookies. And I was like, you said biscuits. And then when they say English muffins, they're not muffins.
They're scones.
Scones. I like the way they make those though. That looks nice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But anyways, we're excited. All of our friends are from all around the country.
And the world. The
world, yeah.
All right, well, we'll be back in just a couple days. Episode 1, Season 2, Gentleman Jack.
Ba-ba-ba-bum.
Ba-ba-ba-bum.
Thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you soon.
See you soon.